Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thursday to everybody. Hello, Jake. Hello, Robert. Yes, we relieve the weather is, like I was telling the guys, when I walked out, I went over to pick up some food for lunch earlier, and I think I had forgotten what it feels like to not be super uncomfortable.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
It is a relief.
Yeah, it's like being a little kid in the deep end of the pool, and you make it over to the edge, you're like, okay, I'm not going to die. Like, just walking out, and it's 75 or something like that, or even 80, like, okay. Mm-hmm. So, good. Jake says, hey, Dave, we'll miss you for a while. Thank you. I need it. I need it about as bad as I ever have. Like, I was just having a long talk with my boss, Steve, and I can tell. And, like, this is the most, what's the word? Debilitated I've been. Like, the last year with my mom, you know, so really like the last year and a half, because the half year that she survived wasn't a ton of fun. And then losing her, and then everything that's happened since then, and being the executor and all that stuff. And I only took that quick trip to Colorado last summer after mom passed away. So,
man, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I remember when Phoebe and I went with her friend. That was it.
Oh, that was last summer?
Yeah.
When you guys went to the sand dunes and stuff? Or is that a different time?
That was my last trip. So okay. Unless that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
I could be remembering it wrong. I may not have gone anywhere after my mom died last time.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, not to like claim I would know better than you, but I'm like, I just don't even remember that.
Yeah, you may be right. So I really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just gets down to, like, this is such a weird thing to do for a job that when you're doing it joyfully, it doesn't feel like work. And when you're not doing it joyfully, it feels like the hardest job in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have some time off. You'll feel refreshed. I know every time I go on vacation, I come back like just very grateful to work here, and like having some time away is just good.
Yeah,
it just kind of puts things in perspective.
Excited to be back.
Yeah, it said I had something on my show prep yesterday that said 67% of people feel better after a trip, which I don't know who those other people are who don't.
Well, probably people who don't know how to travel well.
Maybe.
What do you mean?
Well, just like poor planning and or even, you know, something out of your control goes wrong. That could be extremely draining and make you go like, well, why did I do this again?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But I will victim blame and say that they planned it poorly.
Yup.
A lot coming up on the show today. We're on trade deadline watch, and so it could happen at any point. We've already had a few trades, but I think we're kind of like, at least speaking personally, that we are just sort of waiting for another shoe to drop, maybe a position player. That would be the big news. I think everyone expected the pitchers to go, but I think everyone's looking at like Donovan and people like that and you know, Burleson and people wanting Mason Winn. I know the least of any of the voices you hear on the station about it, but I don't think that's going to happen. But we will stick with you till the bitter end to make sure that if it does, you find out about it here first. Nate Gatter's going to join us at the 1:30. I really like Nate a lot. Brad Young's going to be with us at 2. Ricky Horton will be with us at 2:30. Wheels will call us from the road. He's had a hell of a time down in North Carolina. He's on his way back. Matt Pauly will be on the trade watch with us in the 4 o'clock hour. So there you go.
Charles says they might be miserable because they have to go back to work.
Could be.
Could be. Could be. Could be.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, one of these years, I need to take a 2-week vacation. It's kind of ridiculous. It's so American that in a 35-year career of working, 45-year career of working since I started working when I was so young, that you never take more than a week. You know, I didn't realize that until I'd never been on a vacation at all. Like the first time that Marina and I went to Jamaica back in like 97, 98, something like that. And we met these British people and they're like, oh, how long are you here? We're like 7 days and 6 nights. And they're like, oh, we're here for a month.
That's crazy.
It's like, what? What are you talking about here for a month?
Yeah. And we get those end of year ones, but those. Like, 11 days doesn't feel like 11 days when you got, like, Christmas and Christmas Eve and you got a bunch of responsibilities.
Yeah, feels pretty good, though.
It does feel good.
Yeah, those are my favorite. Those feel really good.
Yeah.
That's a real, like, I come back raring to go after the new year.
Yeah, I look forward to those.
So I'm going to say something, and it's going to sound goofy, but I mean it. Like, we all talk about aliens as if there's a real chance that they're real. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but since not because we had Avi Loeb on the show from Harvard, but since we have had him on the show, it's blown up nationally and internationally, and he's doing interviews everywhere, and they're calling it the mothership, this 12-mile-long thing that is, you know, hurtling towards Earth at 135,000 miles. If I woke up tomorrow and I remember waking up and seeing the war on October 7th in Israel. And I remember waking up one time when the Las Vegas shooter had killed 58 people. And it was the just like, you know, you just have to shake yourself into reality. If I woke up and the mothership was here, I would be relieved. And I'm not trying to be silly, like, I'm an alien and they're coming to pick me up because no one understands me because I'm such a genius. I just mean I'm so tired of what we're doing that an enormous switch like that, like, yeah. Well, I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's not going to be like this anymore.
You would do for a reset.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next thing could happen could be they eat my kids' faces off. I mean, who knows? But my initial right out of the box would be, okay, let's see what we're going to do here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad sign.
Not great.
Not a great ideal sign. When you're ready to just take a chance on aliens.
I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad sign. Because, especially coming from you, because it is something that you've thought about a lot and have kind of made peace with. And, like, I don't think you look at aliens as a, you know, no matter what, they're going to be malicious type of deal. So it's like, okay. I mean, I'm open. I'm open to the aliens. They could be evil, but they could be just fine. I wouldn't necessarily, like, react in fear either. Might be a little freaked out, but then it'd be like, okay, well, let's see what they have to say.
And even if they're not great, this isn't great.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's an alien version of not great as opposed to this version of not great.
Yeah.
I'm just really tired of this. And I'm not suicidal. I'm not saying I'm tired of living. I'm just tired of this life. It's just bleh.
Like, you mean life in the United States, or what do you mean?
Yeah, like the life that I'm aware of, the nature of life out there, not so much my life or my family or my this, just like life, this giant mall that I'm at it just bores me now.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you do need to go on vacation.
The shows are kind of, the stores are kind of crappy.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like, if we analogize it to a mall, it's boring, and the stores, I don't want to go in any of them. Mm-hmm. There's not too many things about life where it's like, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get you.
Maybe I do have Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, I think after 10 years, how isn't it okay to have a little bit?
It's very hard, I think, not to. On either end of it.
I'm just, that's what it is.
Whether you
I'm
have
just
Trump derangement
exhausted
mania.
By life. Just every friggin' day. You know, you wake up and now he's calling our senator, second tier Senator Hawley. And I just like, does no one have any balls? Does Hawley even have a set of testicles? Like, does no one have, I get he's the president of the United States and the office is deserving of a modicum of respect. But you're a man.
But it's not that. That's not why people bow to him.
No, it's not. It's pure fear.
Yeah.
Find him. Find the hair and stand up to him. You don't have to go off on him. Don't let someone talk to you like that.
Yeah. It's the sound is very funny of him going. You heard it on the news of him going like, well, I've certainly been called nicer things, but I've also been called much meaner things in my life.
You seem incipient.
Well,
it's like,
oh,
dude. Which, you know, I think he is. I think that's I think that's his personality. I don't think he's a stand up and be a man type of person. I think he's a, you know, I mean, he was the senator in the famous video of him like sprinting full bore down the hallway when people broke into the Capitol on January 6th. That was him.
I mean, to me, it's just sad how simple it all is. And it really comes down to, I mean, it's just like high school. Like Trump is like the popular, rich, cool kid who like will ruin your life if you cross him. Like you don't want to be on the outs with the popular guy, right? And that's what our government has fully turned into, like, well, like, I want to go to that party. Like, he's throwing that party, and if I don't get an invite, my life is over. Yeah. So I'll just kind of bend over backwards to make sure.
What I think it is so much like is the classic Twilight Zone episode that most people know with Billy Mummy from Lost in Space.
Little kid.
Where he's the little kid, and he has special powers, and he's malevolent, and they're all just kissing his butt. Like, yes, no, it's good that you turned him into a jack-in-the-box. It's good that you sent him into the corn. It's very good that it's snowing in July because they're just terrified of it.
Yeah.
And no one stands up to him. And then someone's like, let's just get him. Like, if we rush him, he's not going to send all of us into the corn. But they're also terrified of him that they don't. That just feels like how we're living.
Yeah.
And then when you see your leaders, you know, I mean, Josh Hawley is one of two senators from the state of Missouri. I just expect more than that.
I think you should. I think you'd be wrong to not expect more, and it's a shame that more people don't.
Yeah.
Well, I think also like the something that's worth examining is why did he say that to Josh Hawley? Because Josh Hawley doesn't want
because he disagreed
with government, including the president and the vice president, to be able to trade stocks.
Yes.
So that is worthy of attack. Like,
yes.
Can we all just pause for 1 second and think critically here and go like, well, why are you so mad that he wants to take away that option for these people who are already wielding plenty of power and influence and making plenty of money?
Mm-hmm.
What, like, who out there? I mean, genuine question. Please give us a call. Tweet at me, whatever. Who out there wants people in government to be trading stocks?
About 500 of them in the Congress. That's about it. I can't imagine why a person who's not in Congress would want that.
Yeah.
Why would you want someone making $170,000 a year to be worth $400 million?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on Cable X 121. Is it the perfect time to follow up with Why Are Americans So Miserable or the wrong time?
I think it might be the perfect time to follow up. Let me get this pulled up here. I thought this was a very interesting article. So we are doing really poorly in the United States. Gen X in particular, those under 30, are so miserable that here in the U.S. we just fell to a historic ranking, historic low ranking in the annual World Happiness Report. So USA is not doing so great. And it is younger people who are kind of driving this trend. And they point to the fact that the well-being of youth in America has just kind of fallen off of a cliff, mostly because people are on their own. They're isolated when it comes to their political thinking, their theories around life and society, you know, thoughts about life, thoughts about society, like you just expressed in the last segment. Typically, like, we don't have those thoughts and feelings challenged by others very often. Mm-hmm. I know you're in a unique position because you have a radio show. You talk to people from all different backgrounds, but maybe the average person just kind of hangs with their friends and family. They get kind of stuck in their ways, for lack of a better term. And in those echo chambers, we start to develop these notions that you can't trust other people. And if you start to mistrust others, you think the immigrants from Haiti are out there eating your dogs and cats in your neighborhood and whatnot, like, you start to become very paranoid and very isolated. And it's just, it turns into like a vortex of just negativity, basically. You never have your views challenged. You then become very distrustful of anyone who is not in your circle. That leads to a really low quality of life. And I could see that being true, you know, in the ultra left wing or ultra right wing segment of society. I don't think it's all about politics. I'm from a pretty small town. In general, the small town attitude is like, we're here for a reason. Like, we want to be in a smaller community. Mm. Then you move into the big city, there's a lot of different things going on. I understand how that's like intimidating. If you are from a smaller town to come and experience something that maybe you're not used to experiencing, it could seem like very bad and very scary. I think there's just more of that than ever before. And yeah, it's just resulting in young people feeling kind of hopeless and feeling like there's not enough in life to look forward to these days.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there are exceptions, but, and not just be all doom and gloom, it just happens to be what we started the show out talking about, but I don't know many people who don't sense this. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Most people in my world, and my world's pretty big, you know, I include my audience in that, and people I hear from on email, and people I run into, and things like that. They tend to be within, and maybe it's just because they're listening to my show, but they tend to be within 10 or 20% of me either way. But I run into very few people who are like, are you kidding me, Glove? Things are great, and they've never been better, and just look at this, this, and this. There's an overall, and it's sort of like if you find yourself 50 pounds overweight, you're probably going to be able to put together how you got there. You know, you'll be able to say like, oh, I did nothing but DoorDash and I stopped working out and I stopped playing pickup basketball and that led to this. And I think you just reverse engineer it. Like, what's happened in the last 20 years? Well, the things we talk about all the time, social media and the changing landscapes with politics.
Well, you bring up social media. That's kind of the irony of it, right? Is that we're more siloed than ever while having access to more
everything
points of view than we ever had before. Like, you would think at this point, we would be living in like a utopia of, oh, you're different than me. You're from across the planet, but look at how many things we have in common as opposed to the things we disagree on. But we have a tendency to focus only on the negative and only on the differences.
Well, too, like Dave Hines says, tribalism question mark. The DGS is very tribal. We get made fun of by everyone we work with because we are like the Abbey Road album cover, the Beatles. We're constantly together, like a mother duck with her ducklings. And when we go to a Odyssey party, we're always hanging together. And I think maybe what's going on is just a bigger version of that. That, you know, it's one thing to go to a party in Bethalto where everyone there is from Bethalto, and then it's another to find yourself at a rave in Berlin, right? And we've kind of been thrown into the deep end. Mm-hmm. And rather than embracing it, I think we're kind of like, ooh, yeah.
Well, and then you have the internet is just kind of complicated when it comes to this stuff. Because like I said, it should open us up and go like, I can talk to anybody in the world and we can agree and get along. But instead, you're typically talking over this like text-based form of communication where you can't infer tone. Sometimes it's hard to infer like exactly what people are going for. So then when someone says something negative or maybe they correct you or something like that, it's very easy to throw those walls up and be like, I'm under attack. They don't actually care. They're just a hater. They're just trying to bring me down. I mean, you understand why people fall into that trap.
And I talk to way more human beings than most people. And I talk to way more human beings about politics than most people. And the human beings I talk to, I'm fine with. It's the people I watch on a television show called Life on Screens who rub me the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And that's just a television show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. I am Dave Glover. Used to be an attorney, been doing the radio show for 25 years now. Rach is one of my co-hosts, just turned 34 yesterday. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Andrew just turned 35 a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Wheeler is 53, going on 120, and he is currently driving probably through Virginia. He had to go down and save his daughter's butt, as dads do, and help her to move to a new apartment. So he is going to be tired tomorrow. Take it easy on him. He drove 12, 15 hours there and then moved all day yesterday. Didn't get done until about 11 p.m. and then got up early this morning and headed back. But he will be here tomorrow. I will not. I'm gone all next week to Florida. We bring our pal Nate Gatter on. Nate is a very talented young man. Not only is he a great sports analyst, but he's done tons of play-by-play and just took the bar exam himself. Nate, congrats. How did it feel?
It feels good to be finished with it, but I think it'll feel a lot better in 2 months or so if I find out that I'm finished with it for good.
Yeah. What did you do for the prep? Everyone does something different.
So I used one of the pretty standard like commercial study programs. I used one called Themis. There's another one called Barbary that's popular and a few others that are slightly less popular. It's good to have the structure, right? Because there's just so much to study. That might become a little less true because they keep modifying the bar exam to kind of eliminate subjects that are potentially tested and make it a little more analytical and a little less memorization based. So maybe in future years that'll change, but it's just a lot to get your arms around.
Yeah.
So it was good to have that kind of structure. I think what helped me the most was probably just doing a million practice questions in those last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Nate, I'm so fascinated by this. How long does it take to sit for the bar? And then what is the testing experience like as far as like, do you got to go lock up your stuff? And I'm assuming it's like pretty high security situation.
It is pretty high security. So the taking the bar itself is, I guess, 12 hours of testing. So it's Tuesday morning for 3 hours. Then there's a lunch break, then Tuesday afternoon for 3 hours. Both of those are writing. So in the morning of the first day, this varies a little bit state by state. But for most of the 30-odd states that are part of the universal bar exam, including Missouri, it's going to look at least something like this. The morning on Tuesday is like an analytical-based thing. They're going to give you a closed universe of information. So they're going to give you the law, they're going to give you the facts, they're going to give you cases, and you have to apply those cases to the law, writing a brief or a memo or something like you would as an attorney. In the afternoon, it's like essay questions, again, 3 hours in the traditional way that you would take an exam, although there are six essays in 3 hours, so they're pretty quick-hitting. And then the second day, it's just straight multiple choice, 3 hours, 100 questions in the morning, 3 hours, 100 questions in the afternoon. And so 12 hours altogether over 2 days, and then you're finished. It's as far as the security and everything, like you have to walk through metal detectors and stuff. You can't bring your phones in, even if they're turned off. You can't have watches. You can't have any technology whatsoever. On the first day, you're allowed to have a laptop because you need it in order to, well, you could handwrite, but the vast majority of people use a laptop and you can have like a laptop charger. And then the second day you can bring in a couple of number two pencils to fill out the Scantron sheets. Other than that, you can bring in your ID because you need to have that. And then even that has to be in like a clear plastic bag that then you put underneath your seat. You can't have anything in your pockets. You can't have anything in any bag that's not see-through. You can't bring in a phone, a wallet, anything like that.
Nate, get this. So I literally didn't close my eyes the night before the bar, didn't get any sleep at all. And I had left my beloved bulldog with a family who had bulldogs before. And I called them at like 8 in the morning of my first day of the bar. And he had drowned in their in-ground pool the night before.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's literally how I went in to take the bar.
I guess in that moment, I mean, I can't even imagine. That's the worst combination of not only do you have all this underlying anxiety, but also now you can't focus on anything.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that you passed under those circumstances.
Yeah, it was one of those things where probably for the first time in my life, because I wasn't like I was an academic before that or very accomplished at anything, but I just kind of went, okay, this is just what you have to do.
Yeah.
You can't cry. You don't even have 5 minutes. You have to go in there. You have to take this test, and then you'll figure out how to deal with this.
Yeah, it really, that is how it feels. I mean, it's not the same thing, but there's been discussion among law students and people taking the bar, I guess law graduates, people taking the bar, that reportedly there was a serious medical incident for someone who was taking the bar exam in New York State.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, the proctors are under strict instructions to administer this test in the exact same way across the country at the exact same time. So they feel like they have very limited flexibility. And I guess there wasn't a protocol in place, but people had to just keep taking the exam while someone was having like a life-threatening medical emergency in the room, you know, in some cases, maybe just a few feet away from them because they're very clear about we're not adding time, we're not pausing time, we're not recalculating anything. The downside of standardizing something like this nationwide with such high stakes is that it makes it very, very difficult to react to things on an individualized basis because it's very difficult to do that and maintain this strict fairness across the board.
So we're talking to Nate Gatter, who's a friend of the show and a consistent contributor to KMOX on the sports side. He just took the bar exam, so we're kind of discussing that. But Nate, sometimes you don't see the forest for the trees, and Rachel just asked the best trade deadline question I've heard yet, and it's basically, why? Like, we all know the words trade deadline, but why? Why the end of July? Why at all? What is the purpose?
I don't know necessarily why the end of July. I mean, I think it's worked out in now maybe the date needs to be tweaked a little bit because they've changed how playoff structures work such that so many more teams now feel like they still have the chance to make the playoffs than would have previously when, you know, not that long ago there was only one wild card team in each league. Now there are three. The reason that the deadline is such a big deal for people who maybe don't get it is because for teams like the Cardinals, or certainly for teams in significantly worse situations than the Cardinals, you know, the White Sox and the Rockies of the world, who have never had any chance of being competitive the entire season, anybody who's on an expiring contract, or if your team is bad enough, maybe anybody who's on an expiring contract in the next year or even two, is an asset you want to get something for before it expires. You know, I would think of it like, I forget, there's an economic term when you have an asset and it depreciates. It doesn't just appreciate, but it depreciates to the point of expiration, mm-hmm. at which point everyone knows after this point it will have no value to you. It's like, mm-hmm. if you have tickets to a game or a concert, they might be very valuable a month before. They might still be very valuable the day before, but an hour after the event starts, they're no longer very valuable at all. And 3 hours after that, they're worth nothing. And so this is your last chance in the case of somebody like Ryan Helsley for the Cardinals to get anything for him, short of the qualifying offer process, which we don't have to get into. Certainly for somebody like Steven Matz, probably Phil Maton, likely to be traded today. Any of those guys, this is the last chance for the Cardinals to get something for them, because if they wait until the end of the season, their contracts are over and the Cardinals no longer have the rights to trade them for anything in return.
So I was looking at the guys who we picked up for Helsley and Matz, and about what I was expecting, you know, like I was talking to my son who's baseball obsessed, and for Helsley, I thought, yeah, you know, a couple good guys or three sort of meh guys. And I thought it was okay for Helsley, especially.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I think the Baez kid they got, the best prospect of the bunch, or the highest ranked prospect of the bunch, is intriguing. The fact that he's listed as a shortstop still primarily doesn't really concern me. He's a big-bodied, powerful guy, probably projects more as a third baseman over the longer term anyway, where the Cardinals figure they're going to have a hole at some point in the next couple of years. I was probably most pleased with the return for Steven Matz, honestly, in getting Blaze Jordan back from Boston. First of all, that's just an interesting trade pairing, because Chaim Bloom, who is set to take over baseball operations for the Cardinals at the end of this season, and you would imagine already is very involved in these kinds of discussions, had been in Boston. So that's one of his guys. He's intimately familiar with what you're getting in Blaze Jordan. On top of that, Steven Matz is a perfectly good reliever, not an elite one like Ryan Helsley. And when the Cardinals signed him, it was as more of a mid to back end of the rotation starter, which means his contract is for $12 million a year. Not that the Red Sox are hurting about paying him whatever's left on the prorated $12 million for the remainder of this season, his final one. But that's a little more, it's significantly more than you'd be expecting to pay for a middle reliever ordinarily.
Yeah.
So I thought that might hurt the return for him as well, because it just limits some of the smaller market teams who wouldn't want to take on $4+ million that might be left on his contract just for a middle reliever. So I was really pleased with that return as well for both of those reasons.
So we're both expecting Maton to go somewhere, and we may hear about that in the next minute, or it could be right before the 5 o'clock deadline. How surprised would you be to see someone else be involved in a trade from the Cardinals?
A little bit more now, since Katie Wu of The Athletic reported that she thinks that the expectation is, among her sources, that the Maton trade, which we assume will happen at some point, will probably be the last one. Mm-hmm. I would have been surprised all along if Brendan Donovan were traded. That feels like one that's more of an off-season move if it does happen at all, because he's not anywhere close to losing club control. And I just don't think he's so valuable. I don't think you make a move like that under time pressure, most likely, unless you got an offer that blew you away. I would have been less surprised. In fact, if you had asked me a few days ago, I would have said, I think a better than 50% chance that at least one of Lars Nootbaar, and Alec Burleson get traded, and I wouldn't have been shocked if it was both. Now it looks like it's going to be neither. That does surprise me a little bit. I just think there's value there. Maybe the fact that Lars Nootbaar is not healthy right now is why that's happening. I see value in both of those guys that could be greater to a contender than what it is to the Cardinals right now. And the Cardinals, as they seemingly always do, have a logjam of pretty good but not great hitters playing non-premium positions like corner outfield.
Rach had one more question.
Yeah, Nate, maybe you can provide some insight here. I was just wondering what it's like for these players on a day like today. Like, do you think it is personal? Do you think it is something they get anxiety about or get nervous about? Or is it just like, this happens every year. It'll either happen or it won't. Like, have you ever, you know, brushed up against anyone who's kind of explained that?
I think it probably depends on the player. For somebody like Phil Maton, who's been traded three times before and who just came to St. Louis, I don't think probably it's stressing him out too much. For somebody like Ryan Helsley, who hasn't played elsewhere as a big leaguer and has been pretty vocal about his desire to stay here if possible,
yeah.
I imagine it was a bit more disappointing, but he also saw it coming, right? We all knew that this was likely to be at the end of the line. I will say, at the very least, if you're traded, it's because some other team is saying they want you.
True.
So at least you're going somewhere that you know you're wanted and they were willing to give up something for you. In that way, I think it's a little less personal than it can be for players going through, say, the arbitration process, where they have to sit across from their own team and listen to their own team talk about why they're not valuable enough to earn X salary and why actually they should earn a lower salary. You know, if you had to sit in a meeting and listen to Dave talk about why he thinks you should be paid less, you might feel a certain type of way coming into work the next day. But that, I think, sometimes hurts some feelings. The trade deadline, you know, it's maybe stressful logistically, but at least you know the team getting you is betting on you and actively wants you there because they're willing to give up something of value to get you.
To Nate Gatter here. Nate, one last question. I lied. So if we're basically have given away, not given away, but traded away a large part of our bullpen, what do we do for the foreseeable future?
Dave, you grip the sides of the seat and you hold on for dear life because there's going to be some turbulence on the way in. I don't know what it's going to look like. More opportunities for the Swansons and the Roycrofts and all of those kind of guys who have been part of the shuttling up and down between Memphis and St. Louis, you know, filling the four or five guys who have filled the last couple spots in the bullpen. It's going to be more opportunities, more runway for those guys. That's been one of the themes of the season. Who knows? Maybe not having the pressure of a return back to Memphis looming over their heads means that some of those guys can pitch closer to their capabilities and show something down the stretch that gives them a chance at making the roster next year.
All right, that is Nate Gatter. Nate, congrats again, my friend.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and Camo X. Happy Thursday to you. Going to join us in the 3 p.m. hour. He is driving back as we speak from North Carolina. He'll be back tomorrow. We're going to hand it off. I will be gone tomorrow through next week going down to Florida. And I need it. I was just talking about how I'm just falling apart. I don't feel like I'm good at the show anymore. And then God sent me a message. I was walking around the facilities here and KZK was playing. And they were playing Billy Joel, Uptown Girl. Mm-hmm. And I had to remind myself, because I don't like Billy Joel, but he's a genius. And the same guy that wrote Always a Woman to Me crapped out the song Uptown Girl.
I love that song.
That's my favorite Billy Joel.
Like I said, crapped it out. Big, steaming, nasty one.
Uptown Girl.
I thought you were going to say that you heard the Rupert Holmes, the Pina Colada song, and you were like, aha, that's right. I must go on vacation.
No. No, I'm just making the point that you can be really good at something and then do something really bad.
Don't get me wrong. He's got a lot of bad songs. I'm with you on that. Uptown Girl,
your
maybe.
Your favorite.
Uptown Girl, maybe in one of them. It's not my favorite. It's her favorite.
Yeah,
my favorite is maybe, I don't know, Moving Out, maybe.
I just am not like a real big Billy Joel fan, but Uptown Girl, I'm like, all right.
Food professionals, chefs, talk about the kind of crap food that they love.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Okay. Number five, In-N-Out cheeseburgers. Now, you've had it, right?
I have.
Is it any different than like Shake Shack or High Point?
It's, you know what? So what I learned is that the big thing about In-N-Out is that it's very cheap. You know, you go to Shake Shack, if you and your friend go to Shake Shack together, and you pay for your friend, you're walking out of there $50 lighter.
Yeah.
In-N-Out, you're walking out of there like $12 lighter. That's the really wow. wonderful thing about In-N-Out is that it's incredibly cheap.
Didn't know
compared
that.
To so much other stuff that's like it. It's a good burger. It's not the best burger. It's a good burger.
Four food that chefs love, KFC's chicken sandwich.
I like the chicken sandwich from KFC.
I think it's everybody went crazy for the Popeye's chicken sandwich. I find the KFC chicken sandwich to be superior.
McNuggets.
Yeah.
Every chef asks, this is by Food and Wine magazine, by the way, say that they love chicken nuggets.
Chicken McNuggets from McDonald's are the best food in the world.
I like the way Dave just said chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. The Impossible Whopper.
Yeah, it's good. So we went to Burger King a couple weeks ago. I was very excited to try the barbecue brisket Whopper. Mm-hmm. Whole reason I wanted to go to Burger King. Go there, secure the bag, get home. They forgot the brisket. Didn't put the brisket on the dang Whopper.
The whole thing.
I know. It was incredibly disappointing.
The King needs a vacation.
I didn't want to make a huge deal out of it. And obviously I didn't. But it was like, I'm genuinely so disappointed. This is the whole reason I came here. And they still did the crispy onions and the pickles and stuff. But no brisket.
I don't know why it is, but it's one of the worst feelings in the entire world. When you get home, you've gone through the drive-thru.
Not to be dramatic.
You've gotten your stuff. You get all the way home, you open it up, and it's wrong. And it's just, you just feel
You do feel a special kind of cheated.
You just feel crushed.
Well, that time that I ordered a pretty big McDonald's order, for me, I was really hungry, and I'm like, screw it, I'm blowing this out. I'm getting a quarter pounder and nuggets and the whole thing. And when I got the bag, there was just a soda in it. And I was by myself, and I'm looking around, looking for a camera, to make that face. Just like, what the hell?
These restaurants don't know how much is riding on the dang brisket.
They don't know the importance of their work.
No.
Yeah.
Food & Wine magazine asked professional chefs to name their top fast food items. The number one, and the chef said, to be honest, we don't consider it a fast food restaurant. It is a fried chicken restaurant. Their favorite, Popeyes.
Yeah, Popeyes is good.
Popeyes fried chicken.
Popeyes is great if you can find a good one. If you can find one that's going to do a good job, which are few and far between, at least in this area, they're great.
Who has the most consistent restaurant?
That is a very good question. I possibly Taco Bell. It could just be the particular area that I live in, but pretty much all of the Taco Bells in that area are pretty good. They do a good job.
I find
job.
That McDonald's are all pretty good, and then there are a couple I can reference in St. Louis that are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The one down on Jefferson is terrible. One on the other side of Tucker, you just don't go to.
Yeah.
Right? I don't even think they have hamburgers there.
I don't know if they're really necessarily open. That might just be a front.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just all Hamburglers. They don't even know who Grimace is. What a show
for a lonely. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.